Well, good morning to all of you. As you know, our church is a big supporter of Operation Care Food Bank. In fact, the food bank could not stay open without our support because we give about 40% of their support. And part of that support includes this flyer you see in your bulletin. It's that time of the year when I encourage you to give a donation from yourself to Operation Care because you get a dollar for dollar credit on your Arizona income tax return. So pray about it. Think about it and give what you can to support this ministry. I give several hundred dollars every year. I get it back in January when I do my tax return. Government's paying for something. Our speaker today is Dr. David Johnson. Dr. Johnson is the executive director of the Arizona Southern Baptist Convention, and I, for one, greatly appreciate him. When I was called into ministry, he was there to help me. In fact, he was my first seminary professor. And despite that, I kept going.
That's right.
Actually, I call him Easy A. Take his class, you get an A. So, unfortunately, he's not teaching anymore for those of you taking seminary. And so he was a professor. He helped give me wisdom and advice in my ministry, going into ministry. It's not easy. So I greatly appreciate him. So Dr. Johnson, come on up. And Dr. Johnson is... He's going to talk about missions today, and in the narthex, as you go out, there's more material about missions. So thank you, Dr. Johnson.
Thank you. Well, it's so good to be back at Northwest Church, and so thankful, Pastor Terry, for your invitation to come and talk about missions today. I'm grateful to be back in a church where I've been before, and it's been a long time since I've been here, but I wanted to say thank you to you as a church. You may or may not be aware of this, but this church gives very faithfully and very generously to the cooperative program. And that allows us to send that money out and to send missionaries out all around the world, some 3,700 missionaries through our International Mission Board. It allows us to plant churches across North America and here in Arizona through the North American Mission Board. It also allows us to have a seminary campus right here in Arizona, as well as to support six other seminaries. So where your pastor went to seminary, where Pastor Michael is going to seminary, where Valene works at Gateway Seminary, you help support that work. You also support the work of Arizona Baptist Children's Services, ministering to families, foster care and adoption, crisis pregnancy all across our state, and then the Ministry of Christian Challenge, reaching college students around the state of Arizona. All of that you support through the money that you give as a church to the cooperative program. So when you give to the church and then the church gives to the cooperative program, you're part of all of that. In addition to that, this is the season when we talk about the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, and your church has been involved in that as well. And I want to say thank you for what you give to that. It's because of your giving that our missionaries don't have to come and raise money. They don't have to worry about those funds. They're able to serve wholeheartedly, sacrificially on the field. And it's amazing because of the money that's given through churches like this one and through what you guys give. So thank you for that. I appreciate that very much. It's been a while since I've been at Northwest Church, but some of you may remember that at one time I preached at family camp, a family retreat. You remember that? That was a long time ago. In Pine Valley, we played paintball together and did all kinds of fun. Some of you remember my son Jeremiah. He was with us on that particular retreat. Next year will be the 10th year since Jeremiah's death. And some of you that know this story know that Jeremiah, when he was 21, when he was a student in college, went as a missionary through our International Mission Board through what's called the Hands-On Program to spend a semester overseas. And his assignment was to go on that motorcycle to remote villages, to an unreached people group called the Monegan people, so that he might be able to play soccer. He was doing sports evangelism, and he would play soccer in those villages, get a crowd together, and then he and a Mozambican pastor would share the gospel. And it was on the way back from one of those villages that he had a motorcycle accident and was killed. This picture was taken the day before his death. Some might ask this question: why send a young man like that on such a dangerous mission? Why send missionaries out at all? I mean, why to go to all of the trouble, all of the expense, all of the sacrifice of sending people to another country, to another culture, to learn another language, to live there, to learn how that culture works. Why do that? It seems like such an expensive proposition. Other people today would say, why would you go and send missionaries? You're doing violence to their culture. You're changing those people. You're changing their religion. You're changing their ways. You should not do that. It's wrong to do that. Well, missions has been resisted for a long time. In fact, over 200 years ago, a sermon was written in response to the opposition of missions. And that sermon actually became quite famous. It was preached by a man named William Carey, who became the first missionary in the modern era. And this is the sermon, this is the cover of the sermon that he wrote. The title is quite long. The title, as you see it there, is an inquiry into the obligation of Christians to use means for the conversion of the heathen. Now, my sermon title today is Why Missions? That's a very short title. Not only did he have a long title, he had a long sermon. In fact, that sermon is now like a book, and this sermon is not that long. So that's good. The reason he wrote that sermon is because in an associational meeting, he proposed to a group of pastors that were there that they gather funds together and they send a missionary to India. And the reason they were sending a missionary, wanted to send a missionary to India, is because that's where they were doing trade. And they had discovered that people there had no idea about Jesus. They had never heard the gospel. They had never received this message. And so Carey stood up and proposed that they send a missionary to India. When he did that, a pastor that was in that room that day stood up and he said, "Young man, sit down. When God is pleased to save the heathen, He'll do so without your aid or mine." Now, it was a result of that that Carey wrote this sermon. And he had 2 points in his sermon. The first point was, expect great things from God. And the second one was, attempt great things for God. And his idea was that God wanted us to take part in this great venture called missions because that was in the heart of God. And if we attempt that great thing for God, we can expect Him to do great things. And indeed, He did. And Carey himself went as the first missionary to India that was sent in the modern era. Paul's response to this idea of why missions can be found in Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 13. So if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 10, verse 13, I'm going to read just 3 brief verses and then talk about what Paul has to say here, because Paul presents a case for why we should do missions with 3 simple truths. These truths build on one another. And as you see that put together, you begin to understand this is the Christian response. This is the biblical response to this question. Why missions? Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, find these words. "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on Him they have not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Lord Jesus, I pray that You would speak to us from this portion of Your Word and teach us, Lord, why missions is so important to You and to us. For it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Now, Paul has been building up to this point for the entire point in this letter. He began this letter talking about the message of the gospel, what the gospel is. In Romans chapter 1, he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile." And then he begins to lay out what the gospel's message is. It begins with this simple idea that all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of our sinfulness, we are separated from God. And Paul says whether you are a Jew and you've had the privilege of knowing the law and the Old Testament and all the revelation of God, or whether you're a Gentile and you come out of a completely pagan background, it matters not. Because every person on the face of the planet has sinned, is condemned under sin, and standing with the penalty of that sin over them. But God's response to that was to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to be the sacrifice for our sin, the atoning sacrifice, Paul says in Romans chapter 3, so that whoever believes in Him can be made right with God. Their sins can be forgiven. They can have eternal life. They can have a right relationship with God because God took the sinless, perfect life of Jesus as payment in exchange for our sinful and imperfect life. And because of that exchange that took place on the cross, when we place our faith and trust in Jesus, God now declares us to be not guilty and to be right with Him. So Paul comes to this chapter of Scripture, and he says this in verses 9 and 10, that if you will confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. It's as simple as that. And then he comes to verse 13 and he says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. God has opened the door for everyone to come. He has extended the invitation for everyone and anyone to come. And if anyone can be saved by calling on the name of the Lord, then everyone should hear the good news about Jesus. Amen? Yeah, that's what he's saying. Now, your version, your Bible, might have those words in either block print or maybe bold print. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. That indicates that he's quoting from an Old Testament passage. In particular, he's quoting from the Old Testament prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2, verses 32. And Joel is talking about that time when the Messiah would come. And what would he make possible? He'd make it possible for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord to be saved. The only other time that verse is quoted in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 2. It's when Peter is speaking on the day of Pentecost. And as he is explaining the gospel, telling them about what Jesus did and why He came and what happened with Jesus on the cross and that He rose from the dead, he culminates that message by saying this, that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And you remember the story that on that day, there were people gathered from every known nation. They were from as far away as Rome and all kinds of countries and in Africa, all kinds of countries represented there on that day. And 3,000 people repented of their sin, placed their faith and trust in Jesus and followed Him in baptism, and they were saved. It's like an example, an illustration that God had now opened the door for everyone. Because people were there from all over the known world. God invites everyone to come because He's made it possible for everyone to be saved who calls on the name of the Lord. Now, that's the first truth. And that truth is foundational as we begin to think about why we should do missions. Listen, this offering that we take at this time of the year is named for a lady named Lottie Moon. Now, you may not know Lottie Moon, but Lottie Moon was a spiritual giant who stood 4'10" tall. This big. Courageous and brave. She went to China in the 1880s as a single woman. Travel was difficult. Life was hard. She did not know the language. She had to learn the language. She took on the customs of the people. She began to dress like a typical Chinese person because she said in order to reach the Chinese, we have to be like the Chinese. And she wrote letters. She wrote letters and sent them back to America. She would talk about where are the missionaries? Why are they not coming? Don't they realize there's so many people here who have never heard the gospel? And she wrote this letter back, and she made this statement. In 1888, writing to the Foreign Mission Journal, she said this, "The needs of these people press upon my soul, and I cannot be silent. It is grievous to think of these human souls going down to death without even one opportunity of hearing the name." It's because Lottie Moon knew that all they had to do was call on the name of the Lord, call on the name of Jesus, and they could be saved. And what was true in Lottie Moon's day is even more true today. That thousands of people are dying without ever hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Todd Lafferty, who is from the International Mission Board, recently came and spoke at our annual meeting, and he made this statement that every day 155,000 people die without Christ in our world. Every day. 155,000 people. That's the size of a small town. Actually, a pretty large town. Larger than most of our towns here in Arizona. 155,000 people. There are over 7,000 unreached people groups. That is, whole people groups that are unreached in the world today, that have not heard the message of the gospel. That represents about 4.5 billion people out of the 8 billion that live on our planet. This truth that everyone, anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved must really sink deep into our soul. Because there are so many people who haven't heard. And that's the second truth. The second truth that Paul talks about is that anyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved, but not everyone has heard. Look at verse 14. How then can they call on Him they've not believed in? And how can they believe without hearing about Him? And how can they hear without a preacher? Ah! What we need is more preachers, right? Well, we do need more preachers. But don't be mistaken. Paul is not saying that you have to be a preacher to tell somebody else about Jesus. That word preacher simply means someone who tells. Someone who tells. And anyone who knows Jesus can be someone who tells another person about Jesus. You don't have to get everything right. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be a professional. You don't have to be seminary trained, although I recommend that for anyone who's going into ministry. You can tell people about Jesus if you know Jesus. But how can they hear about Jesus unless somebody tells them? How can they believe in someone they have not heard? Sometimes people will ask, why was it that Jeremiah went to Mozambique in the first place? I mean, why would he do that? Well, the story is like this. Jeremiah was in college. He went on a mission trip with some college students from our church. And they went over to work with one of our missionaries in Mozambique, John Dyna. While they were there, they went to several villages and they were teaching about True Love Waits. AIDS is still a huge issue in sub-Saharan Africa. And you can make such a difference if you can teach that truth, if they would wait until marriage to have sex and then be faithful to their spouse while they're in marriage. If you can get that across, then you can do so much to make headway against AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa. And so they were teaching about that, and at night they would show the Jesus film and share the gospel. And they saw so many come to know Christ. Now, one of those days that they were there, they went down to a beach area, and they were just doing stuff that American college students do. They were playing in the water and kicking a soccer ball, and Jeremiah had a soccer ball. And so they were doing all of that. And it wasn't long before some children from a nearby village came, and they started playing soccer with them. And while they were doing that, God spoke to Jeremiah. And this is what He said. Who will tell these children about Me? Who will tell these children about Me? Now, I don't know what was more unusual, because some of you know Jeremiah, knew him. Whether that God spoke to him or that he listened. But he heard. And when he got home, he told his mother and I have to go back to Africa. I have to go back. God has spoken to me. And he would not be deterred. He made application to the International Mission Board. They accepted him into that program. And he went with that assignment. Because those children that Jeremiah saw on the beach that day were part of an unreached people group called the Monegan people. And little known to us, people had been praying for the Monegan people for years because they're culturally Muslim, mostly animistic. They're very resistant to the gospel. But a soccer ball had opened the door for them to hear about Jesus? That same question comes to us. Who will tell these children about me? Who will tell these children in Arizona about me? Who will tell these children in North America about me? Who will tell these children all around the world about me? Because not everyone has heard. And we must get this message to them that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. Now those are the first two truths. The third one is really very simple as well. Listen to what Paul says in verse 15. And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul takes this idea of taking the message of Jesus and sharing it and telling others about it. He takes it out of the realm of duty or obligation or responsibility, because sometimes that's the way we feel about it. I should tell people about Jesus because I'm supposed to tell people about Jesus. Or I should tell people about Jesus because I have to tell people about Jesus. Or I should tell people about Jesus because it's my responsibility to tell people about Jesus. And all of those things may be true. But Paul takes it out of that realm and he said, don't you see? Don't you see? It's a beautiful thing when you tell people about Jesus. It's beautiful because it makes it possible for them to call on the name of the Lord to be saved. It's a beautiful thing because you can change a person's life. You can change where they're going to spend eternity. It's a beautiful thing because it glorifies God when someone comes to know Jesus and the angels rejoice. It's beautiful, don't you see? Now those words should be in bold print or maybe block print in your Bible as well. That's because Paul is again quoting from an Old Testament passage. This particular verse comes from Isaiah 52, verse 7. I call it the introduction to the greatest chapter in the Old Testament about Jesus, Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 describes exactly who Jesus is and what He was going to come to do and how He came to be the Savior, the Messiah. He was God's Messiah. And Isaiah 52:7 is like the introduction to that. Here is the good news. Here's the beautiful thing that God is going to do. And how beautiful are the feet of those who bring this message about Jesus. Do you have beautiful feet? How many of you have beautiful feet? Anybody? My wife has beautiful feet. I mean, her toes are perfect. They're all just symmetrical. They all look good. I have ugly feet. My toes stick out too far. They're not right. They don't, you know, they're turned, you know, wrong way. And my daughters are so mad at me because they didn't get their mother's feet. They got their dad's feet. But do you know that it doesn't matter what your feet look like if you use those feet to take you to someone else and share the message of Jesus, your feet can be beautiful no matter what they look like. Because it's a beautiful thing to tell someone else about Jesus. It's a beautiful thing to take this message of the gospel to people who have never heard. Todd Miller has beautiful feet. Now, Todd Miller and his wife Katie and their four children are IMB missionaries that live in Thailand. Now they were living a very good and comfortable life. He was the youth minister at First Southern Baptist Church, Scottsdale. He was there for over 10 years, just discipling kids, taking kids to camp, worked with us with Zona Camp. He did a great job. But in a seminary class one day, God spoke to him about being a missionary. In the middle of that seminary class, he texted Katie, I think we should go and be missionaries. And she texted him back and she said, I think you're right. When are we going to talk to the IMB? They made an application, and today, They live in Thailand. And Todd lives in a very large city. But outside of that city are some very tall mountains. And in those remote mountains are places where people have never heard the message of Jesus Christ. A few years ago at our Zona camp, Todd came to be our missionary in residence. We always like to have a missionary there to talk with kids and, you know, kind of interact with them, talk to them about what it's like to be a missionary. And during that week, we took up an offering. And we gave that offering to Todd to help his work in Thailand. So he went back and they decided that they wanted to do a project. And that project was, through his church, they were going to buy blankets and take those blankets up into these remote villages. They're in the mountains. It's very cold. And they were going to distribute blankets out to families. And so they did that at Christmas time a couple of years ago. And as they, actually a year ago, a little over a year ago. And they took those blankets up and they gave those to the families and they told them the story of Christmas. That at this time we remember that God sent His Son Jesus to be born and He came to be our Savior. And they introduced that story of Jesus and then they said, in a couple of weeks we're going to come back and we're going to tell you more. Well, they came back a couple of weeks later, and as they rolled into one of those villages, see if I can go to the next slide. Is there one more slide? There we are. Good. As they rolled into that village, the man in the white shirt right here, his name is Mr. Moo, came running up to the truck, grabbed the side of the truck and said, "Please, you must come to my house today and tell me more about Jesus." So they went to his house and they shared the gospel with him, told him the full story of Jesus. And he became a believer. And then he went with them to other homes throughout that village that day, telling people about Jesus. And before they left, they had a little worship service in Mr. Moo's house. Now, Mr. Moo was illiterate, so you can't just leave him a Bible, tell him, you know, read the Gospel of John or whatever. He can't read, so a Bible wouldn't help him. So they taught him how to pray. And they said, "This is what we want you to do," and begin praying. And then when we come back in a couple of weeks, we'll tell you more about following Jesus. Well, they came back a couple of weeks later. And I remember the day because Todd sent me a text. He said, "Hey, pray for us. We're going back up into Mr. Moo's village and pray that we'll be able to make it up there okay." So I was praying for them. I was actually up in northern Arizona. I was preaching. I was on my way back. I was actually on the beeline. I know exactly where I was. And as I was coming down, my phone went off. Now, I know you're not supposed to look at text when you're driving. But I looked down at the text, and it was from Todd. And this is what Todd said. "Just arrived in the village. Mr. Moo is dead. He had died since the time they were there previously." And that hit me so hard. Now, I've never met Mr. Moo. I don't know Mr. Moo. But today, I know, as good as I'm standing here, that Mr. Moo is with Jesus today. And he's going to spend eternity with Jesus and with all of those who know Jesus. Because someone came and shared the message of the gospel with him. It made it possible for him to call on the name of the Lord and be saved. And it just hit me so hard because it's urgent. This is not optional. It's not something that we should do or might do or could do. It's something we must do. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord can be saved. And there are people dying every day who don't know Him. There are people like Mr. Moo. And Mr. Moo today is in heaven because someone like Todd Miller came and shared the message with him. It's urgent. How beautiful are the feet of those who go and share good news. Those are the three simplest truths I know. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But not everyone has heard. It's a beautiful thing when we share the good news of Jesus with people because then they can be saved. So that's why missions is so important. That's why we must do missions. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank You that someone cared enough about us to share with us about Jesus. And that, Lord, made it possible for us to call on Your name and be saved. And I pray that, Lord, those who are in this room who know You, Lord, might think about how important it is, how beautiful it is, if we can go and share that message with others. That, Lord, we'll remember how important it is that others are sent and that we make it possible for them to go and share this message as well. Lord, maybe this morning You're calling someone here to go as a missionary. Maybe You've spoken to their heart saying, who will tell these children about Me? Lord, if that's Your call, I pray that they would respond to that call today. Lord, maybe there's someone here today who's never come to know You as Lord and Savior. They've never called on Your name so that they could be saved. I pray that, Lord, even this morning, that they would call on You, that they would confess that they have sinned, they've fallen short, that they're in need of Jesus and what Jesus did for them on the cross, and that they would call out to You for salvation, to be forgiven of their sins and have eternal life. Lord, I pray that today You would speak to us about what You want us to do about this message. Lord, do You want us to give? Do You want us to go? Lord, do You want us to pray? Lord, is it time for us to give our lives to You? Whatever it is, I pray that, Lord, during this invitation time, that, Lord, we would consider what that is and that, Lord, we'll respond to You in our hearts and by making decisions, Lord, that, Lord, will be in response to what You want us to do. Lord, I thank You. Thank You, Lord, for being a God who cares so much about us that You sent Your Son on a mission to save, a mission to rescue, a mission to make us right with You. And I pray that, Lord, that mission will be carried out in us and through us to the ends of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to have a time of invitation. Let's stand. The Lord's spoken to you today. If there's a decision you need to make, I want to challenge you to respond to that. Maybe God is speaking to you about calling on His name to be saved. Maybe you've never come to know Jesus Christ. This morning, you can make that decision. Maybe the Lord is calling you to be a missionary. He's calling you to go. He's calling you to share the message, to go to another place. Maybe He's calling you to share the message of the gospel with someone you know right now. Maybe He's calling you to go across the street, across the room, across the office. Maybe He's calling you this morning to be able to join the fellowship of this church. Whatever it is He's calling you to do, I encourage you to respond during this invitation time. As we sing, if there's a decision, Pastor Terry's up here at the front, I can be here at the front as well. Let's just take a moment and consider what it is that God wants us to do.